Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle, the Sports Hub.
Takes the snap. He stands in. He throws it near side. Mitchell makes the grab. Turns to the sideline. Stepping out of bounds. An 11-yard grab to the 36. And again, making the grab in front of Jalen Collins.
Strip to the left. And again, Alford recovering on Mitchell. Brady throws it toward Malcolm on the slant. Runs to the 50. Carries inside the 45. Thrown down by Alford. And he hits the deck at the 41 of Atlanta. Third grab on the series for Malcolm Mitchell.
Hey, what's up, Zoe?
Good morning.
How you doing, homie?
How you doing, pal?
That's highlights of Malcolm Mitchell playing a big part in the Super Bowl.
That felt like 10 years ago, that call.
That's a long time ago.
He was money, too. He was money in the second half.
Looks like his career's over here.
Yeah, sad to say. I am, you know, when you and I do projections and talk about the receiver group, you know, moving forward without Edelman being there.
Right.
I really, do you recall me in the last couple months ever putting Mitchell in there? You have to like remind yourself, oh yeah, Malcolm Mitchell is still here, and you know, hopefully he'll get on the field, hopefully the knee will cooperate this year. But here we are again, and you know, Jim made the joke, not a joke, but he made a comparison to Aaron Dobson weeks ago, kind of laughed at him like, he's not Aaron Dobson, he's better than Aaron Dobson. See, I laughed at him because I think he's a hell of a player.
Right, he's not Taylor Price. He's not Aaron Dobson. Chad Jackson. Right. He's not one of those guys.
He's not one of those guys where you're waiting for the guy to mentally try and pick it up and go out and play to where he's just playing instead of thinking.
So yesterday, shortly after the show ended, Tom Pelissero had this tweet. The Patriots have been seeking a potential trade partner for wide receiver Malcolm Mitchell, per sources. Flash talent with 32 catches in 2016. And you know what? Those 32 catches, it doesn't sound like a monster number, but for a rookie wide receiver in New England, not bad. And then we saw his impact in a big spot in the Super Bowl. He says, but injuries have been frustrating. Maybe the odd man out in New England, even with Julian Edelman's suspension. That was early yesterday afternoon. Kevin Duffy of the Boston Herald followed up with a story that says New England Patriots receiver Malcolm Mitchell underwent a procedure on Monday to determine the extent and cause of discomfort in his knee, according to his source. He is not currently on the physically unable to perform list, but his status appears to be in doubt. The Pats are expected to make a determination on his future in the next 24 to 48 hours. The source said the team holds its first training camp practice on Thursday. That's it. It's over.
Yeah. It's sad.
I mean, you read between the lines here. The knee is not going to hold up.
No.
And this was always a fear. I mean, this was a fear for me all offseason long. Every time his name came up, you know how many times I've said this. Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. Let's wait. I know that he's running and there were Instagram videos and he said he felt good. But yeah, those are chronic bad injuries. And he had a bad one.
Yeah, and even at the end of last year, people I talked to was that he was running great, and there was a chance that he was one of those final guys that, you know, at the end of the year where you could activate somebody that maybe had a shot. Even the quarterback was hoping that could be the case. But Mitchell's one of those guys that I like because he catches the ball in his hands. You know, every time, he's the anti-Brandon Cooks.
Yes.
And not from a speed perspective, people, and not from a, is he a possession guy or a deep route runner. Brandon Cooks caught everything between the one and the four. Or off the face mask, or he juggled it. Malcolm Mitchell plucked it. He had strong hands. He had big hands. And that was a great attribute for a receiver. And for a rookie to come in and blend the way he did with this offense, this is sad because, you know, he's the second guy to potentially leave to where what you got from trading a guy like Chandler Jones. You had Jonathan Cooper, who was basically a bust, former first round pick, top 10 pick. Now Mitchell seems to be on his way out, and who knows what the hell's going to happen with Joe Tooney with them drafting a guard in the first round, the Wynn kid from Georgia. So you could potentially have nobody left from the Chandler Jones trade.
Yeah, which means Patriots lost the deal.
Yeah, then that's, this is where you start to evaluate it. But you can also look at it as the guy helped you win a Super Bowl. He did.
He did
in that second half.
No, that is true.
You know, third key, third downs, him slipping and falling, getting up, making a catch, having a wherewithal to extend the ball out.
Putting the ball on the ground and maybe fumbling it.
Yeah.
And then not having it called correctly on the field. Yeah, yeah, that too.
Right.
By the way, so here you go. So if Mitchell's out of the equation,
yeah,
how confident are you in the group?
I never had him in the group, like mentally. Like
he was never in the group.
No, he was in the group. Like, you know, we go through the list. Okay, you got Hogan, you got Edelman, you don't have Edelman. Looks like you have Matthews. You keep going down the list.
You had him in the group.
I had him in the group.
You had him in the group. Because we always had to remind ourselves. You were telling me about how he felt good. And look at the Instagram post and look at the way he's running. He's running well.
You had more concerns with the knee than I did.
Yes. Figured,
an entire offseason. This is why
you had him in the group.
How the hell is Cyrus Jones on a pop? How the hell are you going to start the season on that?
I don't blame you for having him in the group. The guy can play. He's talented.
I just never thought, boy, you know what? I could count on it. I never thought I could count on it.
I mean, this is sad that Malcolm Mitchell, it appears, is not going to work out. Because he had talent. He worked hard. He was a good player.
Yeah.
He did everything that was asked of him. And it looks like injuries are going to prevent him from having an NFL career.
What's it say that I mentally would put Kenny Britt ahead of him? You know what I mean?
Oh,
or Dorsett.
You did not do that.
No, I'm serious.
When did you do that? Even Jim was shaking his head at you.
When did you do that? What did I ever say, Jim? Jim Loft in the back studio there.
30 seconds ago. Just now?
We did this like a month ago. We're going to go through all
July
the receivers.
24th?
And you have to remind yourself, Mitchell's here. I never said, boy, he's going to start.
No, but you counted him in the group.
Of course I count him in a group. And then with Matt Slater. You got to throw Slater in there.
There's all these qualifiers
now. As a seven.
It's all these qualifiers to make you feel better about the fact that you're sad about this.
I'm sad. I called you yesterday.
I know.
And I'm like, I'm not devastated, but I'm like, wow.
You're upset
by it. This is really
it.
Sad because this guy had a chance here. He had a chance to be a really, really good player.
Because we saw great flashes from him.
Yeah.
And you saw it on a big stage, the biggest stage.
Yeah.
He played well on the biggest stage, and he was a guy that was different, at least it appeared, on the surface than a lot of other guys who came into this team as rookies and didn't really produce the same way that he did. He had the confidence of his quarterback.
That's everything. Trust.
He did. In fact, you know what? We have Brady talking about that. We'll play that for you today. Brady talking about having Malcolm Mitchell as a guy that he trusts. And that started between those two players pretty early on. And I think that's rare.
And I think that was done on the Peter King podcast. That was after Super Bowl 51. And I think Tom was talking to Peter about, boy, the potential with this kid moving forward.
Have a listen.
You know, Malcolm has done a great job all season long of really driving off the ball and then creating separation when he plants. I think he had earned that trust of everybody based on the route that was called and the coverage that we were getting. So he wasn't a guy that you were going to have out there that said, look, everything in the world tells you to throw it here, but don't throw it. Because he can't come up with a play in those spots. And everybody had confidence to put Malcolm in those spots if he got it. So, you know, he proved everybody right, you know, because he came up with the plays.
That's pretty high praise.
Did you hear what he said?
From Tom Brady. When has Tom Brady ever talked about a rookie receiver, the way he did just there talking about Malcolm Mitchell?
We talked about Austin Carr yesterday and him not having the ability to separate, but he made catches with the twos and the threes and the fours.
Right.
But did you hear what Brady said there? He would cut and plant with a foot and create separation. That's it. Then I know I have a guy. That's all you want as a quarterback. You want the ability of a guy to just separate and to give you a chance. But he's talking about throwing the ball to Mitchell the way he does Gronkowski. You know, that everything in the world tells you don't throw it here. But I know, you know what? I trust this guy. Because why? He has strong hands and he's going to fight for the football. How many receivers has Brady had to go through over the years? What, 20? That wouldn't fight for the ball? That would wait for the ball to come to him? Brandon Cooks is one of those guys. Not to keep bringing it back to Cooks here, but that's part of the problem. That's why Brady's not a Cooks guy.
Here's what we do know. He's not going to be out on the field on Thursday.
No. And from what I'm hearing,
I don't know when he will be, you know, listen, it looks to me like they were, you know, doing a last ditch effort to see if anybody wanted him.
When it gets to this point.
To take him on and maybe, you know, deal with the rehab or the knee or whatever it's going to take. But that feels like if there are no takers, at some point, he's getting cut. There's injury settlement type stuff that could happen. He's not going to be here.
Well, from what I'm hearing, too, they're shopping him for basically a seventh-round pick.
So that's
which tells you they're going to cut the guy or they're trying to beg somebody to take him. And hey, take a flyer on a kid. Maybe it'll come 10 weeks down the road. Who knows? Maybe 10 months. Maybe rest him an entire offseason. And if you're a team, wouldn't you? Would you give him a seventh round pick?
No.
To maybe, yeah, I wouldn't either.
No, because if the Patriots about the player the way they did 2 years ago,
yeah,
not even, I mean, a year and a half ago, that's Brady talking about this player and the potential talent there. No, you're not, and you know that if they're trying to dump him for roster space. What's the point? You guys are going to, if I don't take him for your seventh, you're going to cut him.
Yeah.
He's a guy who's likely going to end up on the street.
Chris Hogan and Julian Edelman are two guys who played with the quarterback that the quarterback trusts, and one of them is not going to be there for the first four games. So basically you have Chris Hogan. That's all you know about. And the tight end.
All right. You've got Edelman out for four games, so you can't count him for the first month. Hogan, that's a known commodity.
Right.
You know what that is. After that, Kenny Britt.
Now he pulled.
You're apparently high on Kenny Britt all of a sudden. I'm not. Yeah, that's your department.
Well, I've told you things about Britt. His difficulty picking up the offense. Didn't he basically pull up in minicamp at the end of practice?
He had a hammy, and for that he is.
Yeah, those are fun.
I think he's on PUP right now, as I saw yesterday.
Yeah, him and Cyrus Jones is still not ready to go yet either.
You know what? I hope he's never ready. I hope he stays home this season.
I started to get angry because, like, how the hell is this kid not ready to go yet? There's Julian Edelman running around like a little spider monkey, cutting left and right. Looks like he's ready to go, but you understand why he's ready to
go now. Britt is the thing he offers is size. He's big.
Yeah.
He's big. He's a big receiver, physical receiver.
It's like Floyd. It reminds me of Floyd.
I don't buy in on Kenny Britt. Philip Dorsett.
They like him.
I heard all I needed to know about Philip Dorsett talking to Chad O'Shea at the Super Bowl last year.
He may be a nice four. One of these guys got to be elevated.
We should pull that
two.
Up today. Chad O'Shea's interview at the Super Bowl and what he said about Philip Dorsett, because he gave a great answer. And we asked, you know what? I think our questioning was it a disappointing year? And he was like, no, he did everything that we actually expected for him to do.
Yeah, he's like, did you watch the AFC Championship?
Our expectations are low for this player. So he met his expectations. Patterson?
Who?
Cordero Patterson.
The kick returner.
Who I think is here to return kicks and will be excellent at it.
I can't tell you the last time I saw him run a post pattern to dig route, a curl, or a comeback. So.
The interesting one is Jordan Matthews.
Here we are. Quarterback's 41, and we're depending on these guys.
Jordan Matthews.
We're 2 days away, buddy. 2 days away.
I know, we're 2 days away.
2 days away.
You know what? we'll get that quote from Chad O'Shea coming back on the other side, what he said about Philip Dorsett. But that's the group now. You've got Chris Hogan.
Yeah, let's go.
And then Kenny Britt, Philip Dorsett, Cordarrelle Patterson, and Jordan Matthews. And I think Matthews is the one that people have some hopes for, which I understand.
Oh, he better be ready, yeah.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope he's ready.
He's one of the guys I can't wait to see on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, this group doesn't look as strong as I felt it was a year ago.
Yeah, this is Belichick pissing Brady off, right?
Well, why don't we talk about that coming back, and Chad O'Shea on Philip Dorsett. That's next on Zolak and Bertrand.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sport.
Zolak and Bertrand, make sure you download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Tap that app.
iPhone and Android device. Download it now in the App Store. Best way to stream us and take us wherever you go. Also, if you got your smart speaker.
Like, hey, smart speaker. Get some smart water.
Hey, Alexa.
Wouldn't that be cool, though? Like, have
hey, Alexa,
some smart
play
water.
98.5 The Sports Hub. That's what you need to say. That's what you need to do.
Or, hey, Google.
I don't know anything about that. That's
isn't that another sports speaker?
You know what? This is my second day in the new studio. I've noticed something here in the last couple of minutes that I'm going to need you to take care of.
Okay.
And that is, so the studio has, if you're watching, directly in front of us are two giant windows.
Do we have cameras in the back that can show this?
I'm sure
the
they
TV
do.
Audience and-
but there's two giant windows out here, and it's a high traffic area.
There they are.
You come up through the main lobby of this building, and you're upstairs, and there's another big lobby outside of our windows. And so people are walking by all day long.
Yeah.
And they're waving.
Yeah, we're like zoo animals.
Yeah. I'm not going to wave back.
It's like we're in the Lions
I'm just telling you right
cage.
Now, I'm not waving back. I cannot spend the day sitting here waving to everybody who walks by these windows.
Boy, he's getting bitchy, huh, Jim?
Yes. Yes.
So great. You were on vacation last week. You missed all of this stuff. All this stuff was going on last week.
I'm not doing this.
Oh, you missed the dry runs. We did all the dry runs.
This
today.
Is just a message to everybody here. Don't be upset when I don't wave back. Zoe is going to
wave
back.
I'm the
Zoe said
person.
He's going to take care of it.
Yeah.
and Zola's going to wave back. I'm not doing that.
There were 40 people out here, champagne toast, christening the studio the first day we were in here.
I saw the photo. Yeah. I saw the photo, and you know my immediate thought was, oh, thank God I wasn't there for that. Oh, perfect. That looks like a very nice time. I would have loved to have attended as a guest, but as the guy like in here, no. That's distracting. That's a lot of stuff going on outside the window that I'm sure you were really laser focused that day.
I went out for the toast.
Yeah, of course you did.
I went out for the toast.
Of course you did.
I drank the champagne because we were going on air. So I said, give me a couple of those.
So I'm a no wave guy. You will not get a wave back from me.
You know what's cool about this
place? It's like Ted Williams refusing to tip his cap. I am going to refuse to wave at the window.
How you doing? See, there's more people. People keep waving. This is great.
I'm not doing it. I'm going to be angry Ted Williams, not tipping my cap.
Okay, moving on.
By the way, speaking of Ted Williams, Dan Shaughnessy will be with us coming up at 11 a.m. today. Shaughnessy in studio. He will join us for a couple of hours.
One of the few people to see Ted Williams play live.
Did he?
Who knows?
No. Well, he may have. He would have been young.
Yeah.
But he would have.
He's
maybe
Yankees
he did.
Dug out for Reggie Jackson.
I'm assuming he probably did see Ted. If he went to Fenway at a young age. All right, Chad O'Shea at the Super Bowl talking about Philip Dorsett, one of the guys in the group. And the question is, how confident are we in the group of receivers for the Patriots now going forward? Again, factoring in no Edelman for a month and Hogan being the only real guy who's had any real time spent with Tom Brady, because it's a relatively new group of guys. Here's Chad O'Shea.
This guy has stayed ready for us the entire year. He might have not, had a high number of plays or a lot of production for us catch-wise, but what he's done is he's learned the offense. He knows what to do from a multiple position standpoint. We can put him anywhere, and he'll know exactly what to do as far as the details. And that was a play in which we took Hogan out because he was down the field running a route, and it was a critical play in the game, and he knew exactly what to do and really executed the detail of that play and then made a great play. So I think that's kind of how I see Philip Dorsett this year, as a guy that's been really reliable for us within his role.
Within his role.
Okay.
Which I thought was the line there.
So
he's been great.
He's multifaceted.
The role we expected him to do.
But Jerry already said we could put him anywhere. We could put him at X. We could put him at Y. We could put him at Z, F, H, you name it. He's multifaceted, meaning that he understands the offense.
Great.
Did he say that about Kenny Britt?
No, never.
So he's telling you right there, his value to the team is so much more than what Kenny Britt
is. Isn't that interesting, though? Because, you say, oh, you value a guy who understands the offense. That shouldn't be a value. That should be bare minimum.
Well, he's telling you he's a role player.
You're an NFL receiver. You play for a particular team. You are expected to know particular team's offense. That's not like a bonus. He really knows what he's supposed to do. Oh, that's good. Yay!
Chad Jackson did.
You learned the playbook? You understand how the system works?
Yeah. Chad Jackson, Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, he couldn't pick it up.
What did we do? We got all over those guys. Yeah. Why can't you do your job? Your job is to learn the offense. Oh, but it's a number system in Cincinnati, and it's the tree, and it's different. What? How much money do you get paid in a given year? You have nothing but time to learn the offense.
He enjoyed watching Tom Brady throw the ball. Remember, it was like a video game to him. He just stands there on the sideline and watches everybody else make plays. Yeah, that was a good era, the Ocho Cinco era here.
Not good. There's been too many guys like that. And so Dorsett, I get it. He's a guy they value because he does understand what he's supposed to do. But he's a role depth type of player.
He's also a former first round pick. So
yeah, but is he ever going to live up to first round pick type of receiver like the ones that work out?
No,
he's not that player. Which guy is? I mean, really, we're putting a lot on Jordan Matthews going into this year.
Your number one wide receiver is a former lacrosse player. I mean, I know we keep berating the lacrosse point, but he's kind of a grinder as Hogan. He's not a breakaway guy. He's a really, really good possession guy. That's another guy that could play anywhere. You move him all around the formation. But he also gets nicked a lot, too, and plays through, pulls, bruises. He gets banged around. He's not a guy who catches the ball and, really gets down or gets out of bounds. He's going to get hit every time he catches the football. That's something to be concerned with. That's, the only guy you have right now. Because we know nothing about Matthews. You said Patterson's name. I said, well, who's that? I got to see him run routes. I got to see what he can do. Not only am I excited to see Matthews, I'm concerned about Patterson because they keep throwing him in the mix and talking about him that he's going to play some wide receiver. It's a guy that hasn't done that for years. You get tagged strictly a kick returner. That's all you are in this league. You look at shoot, you look at the guy, who was the guy who played for the Bears all those years, was basically a returner, played some corner. But other than that,
Hester.
Yeah, Devin Hester. Like, okay, he's a Devin Hester type returner. Right. He's got speed, but you just can't line him up out there and think, boy, this guy's going to be the guy that Brady talks about plant and create and separation.
Here's my question. Here's my real question to boil this down to something. Out of all the newer guys on the roster, okay, so that's Jordan Matthews, that's Britt, that's Patterson, throw Philip Dorsett into that mix as well. Okay, so guys that are not named Edelman or Hogan.
Right.
Will any of the newer receivers match or have a better season what Brandon Cooks did in 2017? Okay, Cooks was 65 catches, over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns. Will any of those players match that?
No.
How about Danny Amendola? Do any of them have a chance to match or exceed what Danny Amendola did? 61 catches, 659 yards, 2 touchdowns. He went on to have 26 catches in the playoffs with 2 touchdowns. And we saw him in the playoffs, and we know his value in the big game. Will any of these newer guys, Matthews included, match either of those two players?
Maybe have a chance with Amendola with the yardage.
Maybe.
Yeah, but not over 1,000.
But if Jordan Matthews has 60-plus catches, won't we be thrilled?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be happy with that.
Jim, what was the name of the kid from Carolina? I keep forgetting his name all the time. He always jumped when he was catching the football, but he still managed to get 60 catches.
Brandon here. LaFell?
No, not LaFell. LaFell was good. Before LaFell.
Oh, Donald Hayes?
No.
Oh, you're thinking of the
he came from the Carolina Panthers.
LaFell was the guy from the Panthers.
Yeah, I know, but I'm talking about before him, probably about 7 years before him. Forget the name of the damn guy. Was it Donald Hayes?
He was 2002.
I think it's still somebody else. I always draw this block on that guy because he's not memorable. He always jumped when he caught the football. Even when the ball was thrown at his belt. He's jumped. Like, why are you jumping? What are you jumping for? The guy got the 60 catches here, I think. It may have been Hayes.
Let's see. Hayes did not have 60 catches here. So
can I vary your question, Beetle?
Yeah.
The Cooks numbers?
Yeah.
Do all of these other guys outside of Edelman and Hogan combine for that?
No, I don't think so. Do you?
No, not a chance.
I don't think all of them combined can do what Cooks did.
Then why aren't they concerned?
Who?
The team.
They should be. That's my point. Are you not concerned?
Yeah.
I'm getting concerned.
Hey, one of these guys goes down. All of a sudden, we mentioned the Berrios kid yesterday. If this is true about Mitchell, that there's nothing left. And they're shopping Mitchell. Berrios is going to get more opportunities and chances in camp. That kid's got a chance to stick and make the team.
What did you think of Cooks' contract last week?
I thought it was putrid. I got floored when I heard it. Couldn't believe it. Pays him he's in the top four at the wide receiver position paid in the league.
I'm not floored that he got the extension because I think over time that extension's going to look better for them.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm surprised about. If you're going to pay a guy like that, why'd you do it now? Why did they do that now?
Because he's really fast. You should hear the stuff from Sean McVay.
I heard it.
And Goff. Like, man,
that's the only part I don't understand.
Look how fast he looks, man.
The money, I don't think the money is going to look as bad as you think it is.
Yeah, time.
I mean, those guys get paid. Receivers get paid in this league. Yeah, that is now a well-known fact.
But what you do is you piss off everybody else. And I know we'll get to Julio Jones, but now that's a guy that's going to hold out of camp because, hey, I'm going to get $10 million. You're giving Brandon Cook $16 million a year? Give me a break.
So my question would be, why didn't you wait a year? And if that's the case, how come the Patriots weren't more interested in hanging on to him for the year and just letting him play it out? I hope that first-round pick works out.
I don't think you could put him in a huddle and say, we're going to pay you more than Rob Gronkowski or Julian Edelman.
But the outside guys get paid in this league.
I understand that.
That's just a fact.
How did it look to you last year? I know the numbers on paper. That's a good year for a receiver.
I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. I thought there were some shortcomings.
You understand why
his play in the Super Bowl was brutal. He ran himself into it.
I got hammered for that, by the way, on Twitter and stuff, saying that that was unfair of you to say that the kid got hurt and sorry for him. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, no. He just showed no awareness.
He has no clue where he's at on the field. He really doesn't. I don't think he can read coverage very well. And he got himself hurt. Tom Brady didn't get him hurt. He got himself hurt.
6-1-7.
He catches the ball and you get down.
So a bunch of people on Twitter saying you're thinking of Brandon Lloyd from Denver, not Carolina.
No. There's a kid from Thomas, or I'll come up with it.
Who is this guy?
Damn it.
Who is this receiver that you cannot think of?
Intern says Jabbar Gaffney, but he's not from
Carolina. No. Gaffney was good.
Rashid Caldwell?
Shut up, McCollum.
All right. I'm just trying.
McCone,
just keep naming McCone receivers. Random receivers.
McCone has headlines.
Jesus.
He'll get you caught up on things. More football and more of your calls. We'll get to your calls on this. And how confident are you in the Patriots receiving corps? And how confident should we be? Should the team be a little bit concerned about
Brady, Brady. Pops the throw. Left side for Edwards. Left for Gronk. Ball is
Brady, Gronk, Hightower, Edelman, and the rest of your New England Patriots are hitting the field starting this Thursday. Getting ready for the season. Training camp is here.
Touchdown, Patriots! That's how you set the tone!
And your home of the Patriots has the season covered from the very first sprints to the final snap. Zolak and Bertrand will be live overlooking the practice field. Presented by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL. The Patriots are back, and there's only one station to hear every game. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air...
Balls everywhere, balls everywhere, balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand on the Sports Hub. Make sure you download the 98.5 Sports Hub app.
Tap that app.
To stream us, get it for your Apple or Android device in your respective app store. 617-779-0985. We'll get to those comments from a couple of Patriots and a Patriots coach in a moment. Dave is in Derry. Dave.
What's up, Zol?
What's up, Dave?
What's up, Beetle?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, what's up, Dave?
Hey, Zoe, you're looking sharp today in there, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Would you get an endorsement deal with Under Armour?
Yeah, man.
That's two days in a row.
Hey, I love the Under Armour. I talked to Mark Winship, one of our heads of sales in there, and I said, hey, we're on TV now, man. I could use some
Brady
new threads.
Gave it to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you look like you could put a side-by-side. You look like Jim McMahon. You put a headband on. You look like Jim McMahon.
I know. I could put Roselle right across the headband. That'd be neat, huh?
Hey, what do you guys think about this with Garoppolo saying he's coming out? He thought he was better than Brady from the start. He's real. I'm waiting to see this season. I think he's going to crap out.
What makes you think he's going to crap out?
But I'm not going to hang on for that one.
What indicates Jimmy Garoppolo is going to flop? Now, it's always more difficult in year two. You've talked about it. Coordinators get film on you and they find out your true weaknesses. Here's another thing about Belichick, too. Every week I talk to Bill, and he refers to some game. He watches every single game. I don't know where he gets the time to do it, but he watches every single game of every single week, and he does it all preseason. And he talks about getting his roster to get it together at the end. Was there a common opponent? There was, Jacksonville, right, that they had last year.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting there and you're studying for Jacksonville, it was Jimmy that carved Jacksonville up, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the second half. Jacksonville had to go out and play out in San Francisco, so – Bill's looking at it saying, wow, I mean, it's everything we saw. It's everything we knew. But bottom line, you got Tom Brady. It's not like you were left with nothing. Like you traded Garoppolo for a second round pick, actually a higher pick than what you drafted him at. And you still have the best quarterback of all time. But you don't have him for 10 years. That's the difference. It's like you're keeping Brady for the short term versus Garoppolo long term. And that's the argument.
This is what I wanted to get to. Other quotes in the story. One is from Nate Solder, who was no longer a Patriot, now a member of the Giants, so he's not going to play with Tom Brady again. Nate Solder said this about the Garoppolo-Brady situation. Quote, I thought it was a Brett Favre-Aaron Rodgers situation, meaning he saw Jimmy Garoppolo possibly taking over.
Oh, you're putting words in his mouth there. He's saying that, okay, we had...
Wait, no, I'm not. How am I putting words in his mouth?
Because you had one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and a guy like Favre, and you have this young guy that you know is going to be good at some point. And when is that transfer going to happen?
You mean he's going to take over for Brady at some point?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, long term.
That's exactly what he meant by that.
You're saying, like, okay, you know, it's a blood. When you term it that way, I take it as, okay, it's Bledsoe week two. He's out. You're in. You know, I'm talking about making a transfer midseason or
Nate
something.
Nate Solder thought Garoppolo was the guy and would replace Brady.
I think everybody thought. Everybody knew he was the guy.
He thought that. Also this, Garoppolo had become something of a weekday legend in Foxborough. Quote, one of the more enjoyable parts of practice was watching Jimmy rip him downfield on a tightrope on the scout team, says former Patriots center Brian Stork.
Stork.
When the backup prodded the offense in his thick Chicago accent, saying, "Let's go, fellas," Stork couldn't help but think of the old Bears superfan skit on SNL. In games, even in preseason, Garoppolo brought, quote, "a whole next level kind of competitiveness, recalls Matt Patricia, and then Patriots defensive coordinator. And the team responded. Patricia loved him, loved the competitiveness. Stork said that he would sit there and watch, you know, in scout team, rip it downfield. And then you have the left tackle, the starting left tackle at the time saying, "I thought this was a Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre situation where Jimmy was going to push Brady out the door."
Yeah, bottom line, if you're Patricia too, you made your defense better. He gave you a great look every week. You know, he's emulating the other guy. Belichick talked about what great looks he gave, you know, as the season went on deep into the playoffs. You know, we need a good look from Jimmy this week. He even talked about it when Tom would sit out practices about how seamless it was. Remember those comments? Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's no difference. You put this guy in, it's seamless. Talk about a guy that's played 18 years and it becomes seamless.
That was referenced before the quote from Nate Solder. Jim is in Boston today. Jim.
Morning.
Hey, good morning.
I'd like to congratulate you on your program. And all I've got to say is that the Patriots need receivers and the Red Sox need pitching.
Congratulations on your program, Beetle.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call.
I'll just slide off camera.
You know what? Tell him where he's wrong. How is Jim at all wrong? He's right. The Patriots do need receivers because I don't think what they have can match what they had a year ago.
Right.
And I also strongly believe the Red Sox do need relievers.
Mm.
I saw Jim texting last night. If the Red Sox blow this game, had a 5-0 lead.
What did it end up? 5-3?
5-3.
How many rain delays?
Yeah, with outs on the bases, Endeavor's taking his time on that ground ball in the ninth inning. Yeah.
And the reliever's giving up three
runs. Oh, that was the eighth inning, actually, before the two-run homer. Yeah.
And the reliever's giving up runs.
Jim all concerned.
That kid Brazier looks pretty good, though.
Maybe. Dan Shaughnessy will be with us coming up in just a few moments. We're going to get some baseball thoughts from Dan, but we're also going to get some Patriots thoughts from him as well. He's got a column today on the Patriots.
Shocker.
And on what?
It's campus week. Of course he's going to have
a course, we're 2 days away from training camp.
Dan's not stupid.
Blair in Maine is back today. Blair, how are you, buddy? Great call yesterday.
Hey,
you got to follow it up now.
I love seeing you on the field, Zolak. You're awesome, man.
What's up, man?
You look good, man. You always look good, man. You must attract all the ladies.
Yeah, I'm married. I'm good.
Yeah, okay, so you're married. Forget that one. Anyways.
What do you do? What do you do for work here, Blair, up in Maine?
Nothing, man. I only volunteer for older folks' home.
Ten seconds
nice
to go,
here.
Blair.
That's nice.
30-second rule.
Okay, so the Red Sox, we're going to get a win today. We're going to look good. They're looking really red hot right now. Red hot, as in flaming hot, sexy hot. So, yeah, anyways.
And there he goes. Sexy hot. The Red Sox are looking sexy hot, he says.
No job. Just volunteers.
That's our guy, man.
Live with mom.
30 seconds. 30-second rule in effect.
Watch her TV.
Friends in Canada. Hey,
Maine.
Fred.
What's going on, guys?
What's
Hi,
up,
Fred?
What's up, Fred?
Kind of touching on what you guys are talking about. So, I know you got your ear to the ground in Patriots Nation. What do you think the real chances are on the Pats bringing in Dez Bryant? Because from what he's saying, it sounds like he's willing to take a low one-year deal and wants to go to a winner. It sounds like if they can give him something with like little or no guaranteed money, why wouldn't they take a shot in the situation they're in?
I would laugh at that question a month ago. I think that's actually a pretty damn good question right now. Like, the guy can play, plays in a complicated offense down there. It's not an easy offense that they played with Romo. I know that it's Dak now, and they simplified some things.
Would you panic if you were him?
Would I panic?
Right now, Dez Bryant not having a job and training camps opening this week.
I'd start to get a little bit worried.
I wouldn't. Someone's going to get hurt. Think Jay Cutler in Miami last year.
Yeah, that's true. He made $10 million.
Right? Yeah. Just wait for someone to get hurt, and someone will come calling, and they'll give you money.
Does he have that
patience?
You'll
get a better deal.
It's easy to say that, but as a player, you know, once you're out of it and you see other guys playing and, man, it could eat you. It could eat you out.
Listen,
inside.
Three weeks from now might be a different story, but right now I would not panic if I were him.
Julio Jones is holding out. He's going to end up paying, what, $600,000? In fines?
He'll miss game checks that are worth $617,000
a week. Yeah.
How do you pass that up?
Do that? Right.
No. No, I would never pass that.
That's a lot, Brandon Cooks.
I mean, we'll get to that story today at some point, but I find it pretty amazing. 3 years to go, and a guy who makes more than, what, $10 million a year? You don't see too many holdouts like that one.
Well, when you look at Brandon Cooks and you say, why is that dude making more than me?
I understand his thought process.
This is why your tight end starts bitching about things.
Yes.
You want that guy to make more than me?
But
I'm Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Just... I don't know.
It's the receiver version of Rob Gronkowski.
90 seconds, no commercials. Shaughnessy joins us on the other side.